WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Debate has now resumed in the Senate after a 16-hour delay caused by Democrats forcing the clerks of the Senate to read President Trump's budget bill in its entirety out loud. The Republican-controlled Senate's been working all weekend, racing to pass the bill and get it to the president to sign by July 4th. Idaho Republican Mike Crapo.
Only in Washington, D.C. is the refusal to raise your taxes an increase in the deficit. And we're not going to let that happen.
The bill contains about $3.8 trillion in tax cuts. Michigan's Gary Peters and other Senate Democrats are unanimous in opposition to the legislation.
This bill will blow up our national debt, kick millions of people off of their health care, and take food off of families' tables while cutting food assistance.
Any cut in food assistance will likely affect soup kitchens throughout the country, including one in Los Angeles called Bread and Roses, which is already experiencing growing demand as Americans struggle to afford food. Head chef James Cunningham.
Honestly, the cost of living is just crushing people right now. Even folks with jobs can't afford rent and food at the same time, and with a lot of the support programs getting cut, more people are slipping through the cracks.
North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis says he's voting against the budget bill because of its cuts to health care programs, and he's decided not to seek a third term. CBS's Nicole Killian.
He has been very vocal about why he's been opposed to the bill, but he has also made the argument that he has done the homework and that he's not going to vote for something that could potentially hurt people in his state.
Pride is being celebrated from coast to coast today. In San Francisco, crowds flooded Market Street under the rallying cry, Queer Joy is Resistance. In New York, Odyssey reporter Amanda Alexander.
Every color on the rainbow is on Fifth Avenue for Pride. The LGBTQ plus community and allies say they're here to celebrate and raise awareness, like Janaya.
Just acknowledging that we exist and we are important and we're always going to be here is so important to me.
Now, this year's Pride theme is Rise Up, Pride and Protest. And folks here say they're here to reflect on the political climate and fight for their rights.
President Trump told Fox News host Maria Bartiromo today that TikTok may soon have a new owner.
We have a buyer for TikTok, by the way. I think I'll need probably China approval, and I think President Xi will probably do it.
Who's buying?
I'll tell you in about 2 weeks.
The president often makes promises that something will happen in 2 weeks. The top story of the hour, debate has now resumed in the Senate on President Trump's big, beautiful budget bill. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shally Pittman. It's nearly the end of June, which is National Pollinator Month. A local agricultural group that aims to empower women in conservation is bringing awareness to prairie restoration and how it can aid the declining population of pollinators. Judith Ruiz Branch with the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
Through its Wisconsin Women in Conservation program, the Michael Fields Agriculture Institute is showing how reintroducing native plant species, among other practices, can reestablish these endangered habitats that support an entire ecosystem. Christine Johnson with the Institute says their current focus of pollinating lands and communities is intentional for many reasons.
Besides being a place of empowerment for women in this space, which has traditionally been male-led in focus, we are also reminding folks that conservation is a practice that should persist even as our resources are depleted.
Johnson says a lot of folks in their network want to do this work but lack resources. She says despite DEI and conservation guts to their programming, the Institute will continue to host events throughout the year. Wisconsin Women in Conservation connects women landowners and stewards to conservation initiatives through networking and education. Sally Farrar is a conservation coach for the program and often shares her experience of restoring 13 acres of prairie land using grant funds from the National Resource Conservation Service. She says the first couple of years were not successful, but vividly remembers when things started to click for her.
One summer, there was like hundreds of monarchs, flocks of dragonflies, and the most rare and interesting insects I had ever imagined in my life.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy with a chance of storms tonight. Lows around 68. Showers and storms possible on your Monday, otherwise partly sunny, with a high near 77. Clearing out Monday night, a low in the mid-60s. Sunshine and 83 Tuesday, 86 for Wednesday.
It's 89 at our studios.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang step into the host chairs, and they're joined by Tanya Atkinson of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin to discuss Donald Trump's threats to Wisconsinites' health care. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. To start us off, we have Matt and Air on air. In this segment, they talk to retired Army Major General Randy Manner, who returns to the show to talk about the military parade, which took place last Saturday. He spoke about the opinion those serving have regarding being in the parades and how they are a drain on time, resources, money, and work. And he also gives his opinion on deploying the military to assist ICE. So stay tuned.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by a frequent guest of ours. And if you watch cable news, he has been all over the place on shows much bigger than ours. Retired Major General Randy Manner is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jane and Greg and Calvin. Good to see you all again.
Appreciate you making time for us. There are a lot of things going on. I wanted to start off with a little bit talking about the big parade on Saturday, marking the 250th birthday of the Army, also in conjunction with Donald Trump's 79th birthday. There were a lot of comments that I saw, Randy, about the lack of precision, I guess I would say, in the marching that was displayed. And there are some folks who think that that was deliberate, that that was a deliberate sign from our troops, maybe kind of a passive-aggressive sign from our troops that they really didn't want to be there.
Okay, so first of all, I need to thank all the members, past and present, of the U.S. Army for celebrating 250 years of service to our nation. It's absolutely amazing that we have been able to sustain a heritage of service to our citizens and defending our country. And so my sincere thanks go out to every single soldier, past and present. And my thanks to all the soldiers that were in that parade. I need to tell all of your listeners, soldiers hate parades.
I bet.
I hate parades. When I was a lieutenant in the 82nd Airborne, which many of those soldiers were from, we did I think there were about 10 to 14,000 member pass and review, which is a huge monster parade. And it was very old school. And we practiced for days and days and days, and then uniforms had to be perfect. And you know, it's not what we do. And we all hated it. And it's horrible. So my heart goes out to all those soldiers that did it. And good for you for following your orders and for doing it. And I'm proud of you for doing that. At the same time, we hate parades. I've celebrated birthdays for the Army in combat zones. I've done it in the Pentagon. I've done it at Fort Bragg. I've done it literally all around the world. And the Army concept of a celebration of our birthday is we have a birthday cake, number one, or many, depending on the number of troops.
Sure.
We invite up the oldest member of the group, the youngest member. They cut the cake, not the colonel or the general or the sergeant major. They cut the cake. We have brief, and I mean 3 or 4 minute speeches by a few people, the senior enlisted leader. We ask the junior person to speak. And we have cake, and we have like an hour break in the day, and we celebrate us, and we celebrate us.
Yeah.
And we tell stories, and it's very low key, but yet everyone appreciates the cake, you know. Unfortunately, that's not what happened here on Saturday.
What I'm hearing from you, sir, is you take an hour out of your day to celebrate the culture of the military and what you have done, because more than that, honestly, is a diversion of time, manpower, resources, and you got to get back to work and do the thing. Whereas this parade, and I share your feelings about this as far as them coming here to Washington and doing what they were told to do to celebrate. I get that. But that is a massive diversion of resources, time, manpower, projects that are not getting done, work that's not being done, all to the tune of tens of millions of dollars when you said perfectly, they don't want to be there.
Right. And Jane, answering your question specifically is that in contrast to the Russian parades, the North Korean parades, where you see everybody literally marching perfectly.
Yes.
Well, those are typically because they spend hundreds and hundreds. I mean, literally, we're talking hundreds, not tens, but hundreds and hundreds of hours practicing. Well, what are they doing? They're practicing marching.
Yeah.
Now, in the United States military, thank goodness those days that I was involved with as a lieutenant many decades ago are long gone. We don't march. The only people who train how to march are ceremonial units,
right,
like the 3rd Infantry Regiment out of Fort Myer for funerals and for state events. They've got to look sharp. Their uniforms have got to be super straight. And it's like, that's an honor for them to do what they do to represent the military with foreign dignitaries and for burials and so on. The average soldier, including me, we barely go left, right, left, right. So in answering your question, I don't think it was a deliberate act to say they were basically protesting silently. I don't think so. I really don't. That's too many people. It's unlikely. I think it's because we don't practice that.
Well, and I think you make an excellent, excellent point. Good heavens, they are trained to go to war. They are not trained to march in formation. They are not trained to look like a marching band. That's not what our troops are trained for. And it makes me think, Major General, that when we look at these troops in North Korea and Russia, you almost have to wonder if they have a unit that isn't specially devoted just to that.
Well, but remember, there are massive numbers of those soldiers that are in those parades. I mean, massive numbers. We had whatever it was, 6,000 or 7,000. They will have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 all marching with just as concise movements. It is a large, very large parade. And so you probably have seen memes all over the place with, you know, Putin and the leader of North Korea laughing at our soldiers and so on, and our tanks being, instead of it being 200 tanks, there's only like 50 tanks.
Right.
Well, the point is, our military trains for combat, and that is what we do, and we are excellent at it. And everybody in the world knows we're good at this. We're not trying to beat our chest. That's why we don't have parades like this.
Right.
We will see you on the battlefield. We're not going to see you on the parade field. So I don't think this was a silent protest. I think it's just indicative of the fact that, thank goodness, and I hope it never changes, we don't devote lots of time to practice marching.
Yeah. Sir, one of the things that we talked about last week, I think this parade is indicative of where the administration has gone, because we shouldn't forget that he wanted to do this in his first term, and the people around him, the guardrails, essentially,
yes,
whether it was military or just even in the White House, said, no, we can't do this. We shouldn't do this. It doesn't look good. I don't know if you were if you were still working at the time, but it shows just that the guardrails are gone. He can do whatever he wants, and everyone's going to say, yes, that's a wonderful idea. Let's have a parade. But also, was there any, in your experience, any president or anyone who said, maybe we should have a parade? That would be a good idea.
So it's important to look back in history. the United States has had military parades. Mm-hmm. It's like at the end of World War One, at the end of World War Two, after Desert Storm. However, it was in the moment. It wasn't like, let's have a parade today.
Yeah.
And the idea that it was a 250th anniversary, yeah, whatever.
Right. I mean,
that's just not good enough. It's not worth spending all of that taxpayer money, your money, my money, and all your listeners' money to put that parade on. It was obvious, and it was kind of, it was sad.
It was.
Quite frankly.
Yes.
All the empty bleachers. I mean, it was just absolutely feeding the egos of the people that were in those stands right there in front of the White House or the side of the White House. And it's just very, very unfortunate. It was an absolute inappropriate use of taxpayer money and of soldiers' time. I need to also comment, you know, I have stood in Red Square. I have stood in Tiananmen Square. I have stood in North Korea on the edge of the DMZ. I have seen the way that dictators use their military not only to, quite frankly, show their might on TV, but also, quite frankly, it's a threat to the people.
To their own people.
To show, hey, don't screw with us, yep, because these guys could be in your backyard tomorrow. Mm. And by the way, it happens all the time. And that is something where we must not ever allow this to be normalized. It is absolutely not right to have soldiers and Marines on the street of LA. I am appalled. The president has approved 700 additional people for Florida, Texas, and somewhere else. I just saw the press release, Texas, Florida, Louisiana, to help with ICE operations. We've got to get the military out of this business and turn it over to those that are trained to do this. It just appalls me. It is a misuse of, again, we need these scarce, highly trained resources to practice and do the things they need to do to protect the nation,
yes,
not to implement his policies internally in the United States.
If you're just joining us, retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest with the U.S. Army for more than 30 years, talking about all the many developments around the second Trump presidency. And going back to what you had said about Trump sending in troops into L.A. without the request of the governor, without the request of California's attorney general, the L.A. police chief, the L.A. mayor, no one requested this. And now I also saw this morning that they are planning on more ICE raids in blue cities. Now they're going to concentrate on blue cities. I can only imagine, Randy, that the troops have to be appalled by this duty.
So I have been talking with only a few dozen people in the Guard and in active duty. And it's important for your listeners to hear, while, of course, the exact details are still working their way through the court system, it is my opinion these are probably legal orders. I mean, that's my opinion based on being the Vice Chief of the National Guard, the Acting Vice Chief of the National Guard Bureau. And given that they're legal orders, the military is obligated to do it. Now, is it make it right? Well, of course not. Is it a gross misuse of a scarce resource? Absolutely it is. What we are seeing is two important things. Sure. Two important things. I want to applaud the law enforcement of Los Angeles. They are doing a wonderful job keeping things under control. And this is, again, a law enforcement operation, not a military operation.
Right.
I say again to your listeners, this is a law enforcement operation, not a military operation. There is zero need for those military. There's zero need, especially Marines. If that's not using military to intimidate the local population, I've worked with Marines all over the world. Marines have one objective. Go kill that target. Okay, boss, I'm going to go kill that target. I'm going to knock it down. And they are the best in the world at what they are trained to do. That does not make them qualified in any manner of any imagination to put them in with United States citizens, literally feet apart. That's not right.
We're going to continue our conversation with retired Major General Randy Manner on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We come back to the Civic Media Spotlight with Mino and the Mayor. In this segment, they welcome Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, to discuss Dairy Month, farm breakfasts, and the mental health challenges farmers face all around the state.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. We're going to get back to Kevin Van Ness in just a few minutes, talk a little bit more about what they did last night and all these. Boy, the number one thing I think about when I see these forecasts are
outdoor beds,
weddings,
man.
And yeah. High school graduations. We have our guest on Convoy?
Yes, we do.
All right. Okay, let's introduce Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, the Midwest Farm Report, coming your way on WGBW and WISS. June, of course, is Dairy Month and Mental Health Awareness Month. And welcome, Pam. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm doing well, just like you guys, watching out to see what this weekend weather is going to look like.
Oh, boy.
Do you have any breakfasts on the farms this weekend coming up?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. I mean, let's face it, every weekend there's about 16, we're averaging about 16 dairy events on a Saturday or Sunday around the state. And we've got a brunch that's coming up on Saturday, and we've got a couple more that are on Sunday, kind of using the last gasp of June to try to get the people together. And I'll tell you what, I brought this up before. If you are thinking about going to any June dairy event, go where the cows are, because there will be an incredible amount of energy, and I'm not just talking people, I'm talking technology, that will be working this weekend to make sure those beautiful bovines are kept cool and comfortable. And you might be in a better spot if you go hustle and hang with the cows than worry about standing in line for the food.
Well, I told Jim about my son's high school graduation about 10 years ago now, and it was like the hottest day of the summer. It was like literally 94 degrees. We had a big tent, and one of the guests or whatever, relatives, said, hey, I'll bring in a farm fan. And I'm thinking, what are you going to do with a farm fan? That thing cooled off Everybody was completely comfortable by that one farm fan. I don't know. And it wasn't like it's one of these things that, you know, blows everything all over the place. It just really distributed air. What's the secret of those things, Pam?
Well, they have they run at quite a few RPMs, and they really do have to work through a lot of air. If you walk into a barn, I know that most people probably have, but pay attention to the ground, the floor. A veterinarian that I used to work with always said, if you can kind of see the barn lime, which is kind of the white substance we put down to absorb moisture, if you can see the barn lime kind of moving or the feeds kind of moving, that's the way you want your air circulating. You want it. You want enough CFM so that there's actually movement of those particles, because then you know the cows are comfortable.
Oh, interesting.
You know, you talk about those breakfasts on the farm, and you know, Johnny and I both done a ton of them, but that's the breakfast is really the small part of that. To go out and tour those farms, you talked about the technology, but there's so much to see out there. That is just a great. It's a great event for anybody, but for families, it's especially great. And there's just so much out there. And I think sometimes people think these poor cows, but, you know, they're treated pretty well.
And they've got their own routine.
Huh?
They've got their own routine.
Well, yeah. And the way they milk them now, some of it's so automated, too. And it's just, yeah, that's right. It's a great thing. So
well,
you spend
that. Like I said, they come first.
Yeah. Right. Which as it should be. So this weather, what, 90s, maybe even 100 this weekend? I mean, does that
right?
It tell me how the what are the farmers? I mean, do they rely on this farmer's almanac? Do they think our weather's good here?
No,
are you,
no.
Take it away,
no.
Pat.
Farmer's almanac is a nice little conversation piece, but as far as reliability, I don't think that I know any farmers that you know plant by it or worry about it. But we do have a lot of technology that's telling us what's going on, and it's not just about the animals. We have to think about our crops. I mean, I farm in Oconee County, and let me tell you, we could use a few more degree growing units, we call it. So heat is a wonderful thing in moderation, just like everything else. And what we've ended up being is a little on the cool side for the month of June. So our soybeans, our corn is a little bit behind where we'd like it to be. Now people say, oh, well, great. The farmers will love it this weekend. No. Nobody likes 90 plus in Wisconsin with the humidity it brings. A corn plant, for example, will basically start to shut down when you get into the mid and upper 80s. It's doing that to conserve moisture. It doesn't know when the next rain is coming. So it'll take advantage of the heat up into a certain point, and then you'll see it close down. And I'm sure there's a lot of folks listening that say, oh, yeah, you know, some of the ground is cracked where they haven't picked up the showers. That's a survival mechanism for that plant. So 90s are not what we're looking for. Nice, you know, couple 80-degree days would help us catch up a lot. But 90s, the plant just cannot really maximize on all that excessive heat. Goes into survival.
I did not know that.
No, me then. Khan's our expert golfer, and he's with you guys. He's right, the 80s versus the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when you drive past a field, if you drive past the field and you're just glancing out your car window, truck window, if you ever see corn plants, they start to wrap. The leaves will start to kind of wrap into a swirl. That's a survival mechanism, doing what it can to keep the moisture in the plant. Wow. So when we see the plant start to wrap, that's a sign that too hot.
Too hot.
Hey, I would have thought just the opposite. I would have thought, is great. We got some water now. Hotter the better. I just learned something.
Is that true that corn, right? Remember your dad used to say if it's not knee-high by the 4th of July, it's going to die? Is that true, or is that just one of those things we grew up with?
No, that's another one of those. It's a nice reference point. I think most farmers hope to heck that their corn's knee high by 4th of July. It's kind of a visual benchmark that you can use.
Yes.
And it's not so much about that point in time, but come on, guys, you're in Green Bay. You know, we start thinking right after 4th of July, then it's all of a sudden, you know, how much do we have left? When is that first frost? When is that first killing freeze? And that's really what a lot of farms have to start thinking about. Okay, which field is knee-high by 4th of July? When are we going to start chopping silage? Which fields are farther along? Which are going to need a little bit more time? Which are we worried about that are really delayed and may not make it to first frost in the condition we want? So You know, like I said, we worry about the weather when it comes to spring planting. Now we worry about the weather as far as plant advancement or making hay.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. The Senate has resumed debate on the budget bill President Trump wants to sign by the 4th of July. Most Republicans support it. All Democrats oppose it, including Michigan's Gary Peters.
Before my colleagues rush to pass this irresponsible, reckless legislation, let's take a moment to go through exactly how much harm this bill will actually cause.
North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis says he's not going to run for a third term. He opposes that budget bill and was threatened by Trump with a primary challenge for doing so. UVA political analyst Larry Sabato.
Tillis has had it. This has happened before. You either agree with Trump and go along with what he wants, and you do so enthusiastically, or you become the enemy.
There were pride celebrations across the country today, from New York to San Francisco to this one in Seattle. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Another home run for Ortiz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Earlier this season, the Milwaukee Brewers shortstop, Joey Ortiz, was really struggling at the plate. His batting average was down to 188, and he was in danger of losing his job. This week, Ortiz hit two home runs in the same game. Yesterday, he had another, a two-run homer in the Brewers' 5-0 win over the Rockies. I asked Ortiz, was his extended hitting slump tough to get through?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like my teammates kept my head out a lot more than they know, especially early when I wasn't really getting the results I wanted. Everyone does a great part to make sure that your teammates are doing a good job, making sure they're in a good position mentally, and yeah.
And we learned that Brewers center fielder Garrett Mitchell, who re-injured his left shoulder in Nashville over a week ago, running the bases, will have to undergo surgery again this Tuesday, although it's possible he could return at the end of this season. From American Family Field, with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do actors cope with being part of a really dark horror film? Violet McGraw and Allison Williams, stars of Megan 2.0, made themselves happy when the cameras weren't rolling by singing Taylor Swift songs. The 37-year-old Williams and 14-year-old McGraw are both Swifties. McGraw, who plays Williams' niece in the film, says the two bonded due to the dark material, and the way they ended up coping with it was by pretending to be Taylor. Megan 2.0 is rating fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and is currently in theaters. If mystery and horror isn't your thing, how about mystery and comedy? Peacock's remake of the 1989 Tom Hanks film The Burbs is gaining steam. The reboot is not a movie, but rather a series, and the cast is headlined by Kiki Palmer, whose credits include Nope and the recent surprise hit One of Them Days. Palmer is also executive producing. If you're feeling nostalgic for the movie, you might dig the show, as it is filmed on the same street on the Universal backlot as the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy with a chance of storms tonight. Lows around 68. Showers and storms possible on your Monday, otherwise partly sunny, with a high near 77. Clearing out Monday night, a low in the mid-60s. Sunshine and 83 Tuesday, 86 for Wednesday.
It's 89 at our studios.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Charlie Pittman, Civic Media's news director, will be here to recap all of the weekend news. In hour number two, we lighten it up with We Got This Garden. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the John and Gordy Show. In this segment, John and Gordy talk with Jesse Christensen from Cannabis DMP, exploring the safe use of cannabis products for ailments like sleep and anxiety. And he emphasizes the importance of transparency with his customers.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in a beautiful morning.
It's gorgeous. We have sunshine, highs today getting into the low to mid 80s, and dew points are high. Humidity, it's muggy out there.
It is awful.
Maybe some showers and storms later. Okay, welcoming into our studios here, Jesse Christensen. He is with Cannabis DNP, and they have you have a website, cannabisdnp.com. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And the DNP stands for Doctor of Nursing.
Doctor of Nursing Practice, correct.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it.
A lot goes into this, your website, and we direct people over there to cannabisdnp.com, simple as that, and check it out. It's it does a lot to inform the individual about what you're into and how you have made this this product that you have. And that's what we want to kind of get into. There's a lot of different points of view on what is available out there now. And there are a lot of shops that are dotting State Street and all the other avenues here in the city. So what is it that we're missing? A lot of people, have kind of been brought up, Gordy and I, of course, came from a generation of just, buds and weed.
The flower.
But, things have changed so dramatically now because this is, legal. Hemp. This is where a lot of this comes from, is hemp, and a lot of these stores have popped up. You got to fill us in and, what exactly, introducing people to this industry, because there's still a lot of mystery surrounding it. We're seeing the shops, but we're not real familiar with what to expect when we go into these shops.
Sure.
Or go to your website and your product.
Yeah. Sure. So yeah, there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of shops. There's a ton of products. As a matter of fact, I just got back from Chicago at the Champs Trade Show, where I got to see over like 2,000 vendors selling multiple different products. Yeah. So it's an interesting industry. I like to err on the side of caution, so I stick more with the medicinal components and not so much the bright and shiny, colorful products that are out there on the market right now. So I like to stick with the low dose.
So when you say medicinal products, what kind of products are we talking about? Are we gummies and
Mine are taffies.
Taffy?
Yeah, not like the saltwater taffies. They're more dense, but they're also DEA-registered hemp farms. That's where I get my hemp from. So I know that they're clean. They get tested for pretty much every pesticide, every metal. I have the chain of custody paperwork in case anybody wants to see it. And then I use FDA-regulated CGMP-compliant kitchens to make sure that there's an added layer of safety with the cleanliness of the product itself. And that kind of is what separates mine from a lot of products. Mine are very focused for a couple of different reasons. I work with sleep and pain and stress and anxiety. So I work with pretty much only two products as of right now. I'm formulating a few others, but I like to work more with the low dose, judicious amounts and dose products.
Mm-hmm. Now you have a doctorate in this.
I do. I got it last year, May, from UW-Madison. Never would have thought that would ever have happened to me.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, there is a push to regulate the industry a little bit because there really aren't any regulations. No one saw this development happening.
Correct.
Because of the hemp product. Well, they wanted to grow hemp in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, everything just developed from there. And now people want some safeguards put up, some guardrails.
Yeah.
And that's kind of basically what you're providing with your product.
So, working in the healthcare industry, I want to make sure that what I give to my clients and my customers is exactly what it is. I like to be very transparent. Again, that's part of healthcare, is being very transparent with your customers. Other people out there, they have a tendency to want to mock up their COAs, their certifications, and try to get the most dose THC out of it to make it seem very strong and very potent, because that's the tendency of what sells here in Madison, Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin in general, is people want the most potent product, the newest product. And that's one of the things that I like about Minnesota, is with their rules and regulations, my products have been accepted up into the Minnesota market. That just kind of tells you what kind of product you're dealing with here in Wisconsin.
So in Wisconsin, what are the regulations?
There really are none.
Okay.
Yeah, there's really
none. As long as the hemp derived, the hemp that you receive is less than 0.3% THC.
Okay.
And then you can manipulate your products however you choose.
That's right. And what is Delta 9? THC.
So here in Wisconsin, we have to kind of specify the different deltas. The different THCs are like a family, 8, 9, and 10, and others.
Mm-hmm.
Delta 9 basically just, it tells you where the double structure is, the double bond is on the chemical structure. Mm-hmm. So let's say the Delta 8 would be over on this way, Delta 9 would be here, Delta 10 would be here. It just tells you where that double bond is on the chemical structure.
Mm-hmm.
Does that determine what kind of product you make out of it, or what it treats necessarily?
Not so much what it treats, just what kind of product it is. So Delta 9, we know, is the major main component, psychoactive component of the cannabis plant.
Okay.
So it's the most abundant. Mm. Delta 8 is in the cannabis plant. It's just in such a low amount that to make a product from the plant itself would be extremely expensive. So what we do is, or what companies do is, they'll isomerize Delta 9 into Delta 8 with using different chemical.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
So Jesse, tell us about, now your medical background tends to focus on working with people that are 40 and older?
13 and over, but yeah, my sweet spot is about 40 and above. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So they're probably customers of yours are coming to you for the first time, and what do you tell them as far as what, if they have an ailment, let's say they have arthritis or something, I mean, maybe there's a medical reason that they've heard that your products will help them.
Sure.
How do you guide them? What do you ask them? And what do you recommend for them? If I have arthritis or I can't sleep at night, that kind of thing.
So the workup is kind of like, it's personalized. Mm-hmm. Everybody is different. Everybody has their own medical background, medical history, medications that they're on, which a lot of people don't ask about. And if there's a concern for me, let's say you have a recent heart condition.
Yes.
Cannabis products may not be for you at this point in time.
Exactly.
But as soon as that becomes a more maintained, then we come back and revisit possible low dose, starting dose of like 1 milligram THC or CBD. But safety is always a concern. Transparency is always a concern. If I'm working with some patients with some mental health issues, I always ensure that they're talking with their psychiatrist or psychologist about any cannabinoid products. I give them my card. I'm very open about it. They can contact me at any time, but safety is a priority to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned a heart condition. There has been, of course, a study that's out there that said that
there's
a
many.
Lot of people who smoke
<There's many.
laughs> are more prone to have a heart attack. Now, what's the science on that?
So I think you're referring to the ACC paper, maybe the AHA paper. So the ACC paper that came out in 2025, I think in May. So there was a correlation, but they couldn't really determine a causation. And then when they were talking about their study, I believe they only used 4 keywords when they were looking up all of the medical patients' histories. So they used the words cannabis, stroke, heart failure, and something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very skewed. The information, was very skewed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're only using those keywords, your numbers are going to be very high for those reasons. Now, if they would have added in some other things like tobacco use or BMI or other things like that, you can get a more well-rounded version. But because of it's news, it's in the headlines, everybody's curious about it. And again, they're just promoting that same stigma from 1970 of be afraid of this. You don't have to be afraid of this if you're using it consciously, if you're using this for the right purpose with the right product. Now, it is shown that inhalation does increase your heart rate by about 8 beats per minute.
Mm-hmm.
It does increase your blood pressure a little bit, depending on your product that you're using. But over time, your body eventually becomes tolerant of that, and then it actually will drop your blood pressure depending on the product you're using.
So are you talking about inhalation of smoke, marijuana smoke, or are you talking about inhalation with vaping? Is there a difference?
There is a difference. Okay. So when I'm working with clients and they're not completely sure, and especially they have like an acute outburst of pain, the inhaled form is very quick. It's got a very quick onset, but it doesn't last as long as the oral or the ingestion route. So when we're talking about inhalation, what I like to choose is the vaporization method. It's the safest method. You don't combust the material, unlike smoking, let's say, a joint or a bowl of marijuana or cannabis. With that being said, the vaporization method also will increase your heart rate and your blood pressure, just because it's very acute. It's not a controlled.
Very sudden.
Yeah, it's very sudden.
Yeah.
Talking with Jesse Christensen from CannabisDNP.com. Do you have an actual retail location?
I don't, but
it's all online.
On my site, you can find all the locations my products are available.
Okay.
Well, I think that what surprised me looking at the locations is that you can pick up your product at Piggly Wiggly.
So, wait, what? Really?
Sure.
Where's the is there a Piggly Wiggly in Madison?
Out in Sauk.
Out in Sauk.
Oh, Sauk, and, yeah, right on Highway 12.
Yeah, okay. Out in Bellevue, too, and or Belleville, yeah.
So okay. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, so we talked about inhaled products. Well, okay, what about gummies versus, you're offering taffy now? I mean, is that about the safest route to go as far as any ill side effects?
So the oral route, the ingestion, when you actually eat it, I like this method because it lasts longer and you don't need as much. Okay. The inhale version works great, especially if you have acute issues and you need something right away. But when you actually eat the edible, it breaks down through the liver, similar to like a lot of oral medications. And then it gets in the bloodstream, which is about 4 times stronger than what it originally was. Mm. But it also lasts about 8 to 12 hours longer. So you get that full effect for a longer period of time.
Okay. And what are we treating sometimes when people want to take this? Is it the lack of sleep?
Sure.
The inability to sleep?
Sure.
Pain, aches and pains?
Yep. So my two products, the sleep and pain and the stress and anxiety, those are the major conditions that I see a lot of people for. And this happened even before I was I had a doctorate. This was when I was working the floor as a bedside nurse from 2016 on to 2023.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people come in for insomnia or pain. And they didn't, I'm not a huge fan of opiates. That's, everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a place for them. It just should not be used long term. It should not be used chronically. Cannabinoids, on the other hand, can be used long term. There's no negative, horrible side effects
like
opioids do have. But yeah, sleep and pain and stress and anxiety are a couple of things that I treat. There's a couple of different forms of insomnia that I work with. And then we talk about dosing to help better help with that problem.
And this taffy, can you break it up? It seems like everybody is, you know, taking little chunks.
Yep.
One review said I took a quarter of it. So is it possible to do that or to break it up like that?
Absolutely. So you can either just take a little bite off of it or you can use a scissors and cut it. But each taffy is individually packaged within the packaging to help with shelf life, to help with longevity, and also to help with safety for little fingers getting into it.
And you would probably recommend, you know, trying a little to what your limit is and just add on to it if you need more.
Yep. Everybody has their own sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jesse, if people want to find out more, the best place is your website,
right? Correct. Yes, sir.
Go to CannabisDNP.com. Yep.
And this Saturday, I'll be at Garver Sessions. I'll be there for the daytime and the PM. And then Sunday, I'll be back at the Northside Farmers Market, where I usually am every Sunday.
All right.
Very good.
Well, fantastic. This is great. Again, learning just a little bit about it really does help.
Good.
Appreciate you being with us, Jesse.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
We will be back with Leftovers on John and Gordy.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic... As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court said in 2019 that partisan gerrymandering was fundamentally a political issue and left it to legislatures and state courts to decide. In South Carolina, a state Supreme Court case heard June 24th challenges the state constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. At the heart of the case is this provision in the South Carolina state constitution. All elections shall be free and open, and every inhabitant of the state possessing the qualifications provided for in this constitution shall have an equal right to elect officers and be elected to fill public office. In another SCOTUS case, 2024's Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP, evidence showed state legislators repeatedly said they gerrymandered for partisan, not racial reasons when they moved 30,000 mostly black voters into Congressional District 2, leaving adjacent districts more white and conservative. Their admission of partisan gerrymandering is now being used against them. The League of Women Voters and ACLU argued that the admitted partisan gerrymandering, quote, violated voters' constitutional rights to free and open elections that are protected from all undue influence and where voters exercise equal influence over elections. The groups asked that the map be in compliance with the state constitution. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
To finish off this Civic Media Spotlight, Chad Holmes chats with Robin Vargas of the Marathon County Public Library for a local update on the WXCO Morning Report during mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back. It's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And as we do every other week, we are very happy to welcome back across the table to talk about what's going on at the Marathon County Public Library with Robin Vargas. Robin, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I said to you when you came in, what's happening? And you said, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot, yes.
Again, it's probably unfair to ask this, but is summertime as busy as it gets at the library, or is there a time of the year that's even busier?
I would say that this is it. Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely it, especially June and July. It feels like, although even August is pretty busy because a lot of other, like the pools close down in early August and a lot of other activities wrap up by then. And so then folks are like, oh, where else do we go? Let's go to the library, of course.
That is the way to think. Absolutely. Let's get right into it. What are some of the early summer activities that you're getting underway?
Yeah, for sure. So later on today, actually, at George Street Park, we're having a garden story time. That's at 10:30 today with the North Central Wisconsin Master Gardeners. They're coming in doing some flower planting with the kids. So they'll get to take that home with them and, you know, get their hands in the dirt and get to experience that. Also in Rothschild tomorrow, Thursday, June 19th, We're doing Read to a Therapy Dog. So that's from 5:30 to 6:30. I've had some folks ask, it's not going to be back at WASA this year, but head on over to Rothschild. Mm-hmm. Just a quick, you know, 15-minute drive. So kids can head over there and do that tomorrow night.
Man, starting off in Rothschild's the place to be early on.
Apparently, yeah.
And that's, again, one of the aspects that's always interesting is that you have so many, you don't rely on just having folks involved here in WASA. It's a beautiful building, obviously, here in downtown WASA. But, mm-hmm. boy, you do take a lot of these activities straight to the people.
We sure do. We try to. We know it's hard, you know, if you've got four kids to pack them all up in a van and bring them down. So, yeah, we try and bring these events out to everyone that we can.
Are there any other, let's keep it with the, maybe some of the branches. Yeah, any other branch activities coming up?
Yeah, for sure. So on Thursday, June 19th, both in Marathon and Athens, we have animal acrobats. So it's going to be at the Marathon Elementary School at 10 a.m. and then at the Athens Community Hall at 1:30 p.m. And that's all about learning how different animals move, like how to identify their tracks. And then they're going to be bringing with them some live animals, like a bearded dragon and a snake. So if you're into that, I would not be. I would stay far away in the back, but kids can get the chance to see those up close.
I was thinking when you said animal acrobats, we're going to see some animals doing some backflips.
Maybe. I don't know. You'll have to go and see for yourself. I don't know. We'll see how well that bearded dragon is trained.
Let me ask you real quickly, when you have these activities, I mean, we think about sometimes library activities, think about, books and maybe authors or stuff like that. How difficult is it when you have something like you're bringing animals in?
Yeah.
I mean, is that hard? Is it, or do you have a lot of folks that really help you out with that?
Yeah, I mean, we bring in these, performers that have experience, of course. But yeah, it definitely is a little bit outside of our scope. And so that is why we bring in some other friends to help us out with that. But yeah, it is a little bit different from the books aspect, but just another opportunity for kids to learn.
Fantastic. And we're talking to Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library, as we do every other week here on 98.9 WXCO. Well, let's continue, because you said it's such a very busy time, and you got yourself a list here to talk about. What else is happening?
Yeah, so out at the branches, this week, in Hatley, all week long you can go and make DIY paper beads. Can make those, string them up into necklaces or bracelets or any other kind of craft. So just stop in. And then next week out at the branches, we've got quite a few crafts happening. So in Athens, you can stop by and make a DIY kaleidoscope. In Mosinee, you can make some faux stained glass sun catchers. And then in Marathon City and Stratford, you can make a cute little paper snail craft.
Very cool. And something that's really, again, that kind of jumps out and when I talk to you and we hear about some of these activities, it's so important to keep children's minds active and to, not to let it just slide away, especially during the summer months. And all these kind of activities are vital for the development, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. Especially like our reading challenges, we want to keep those kids reading during the summer and and also just develop a lifelong love for the library, get them in while they're young and get them hooked on books or the programs that we have and keep them coming back.
You said programs and they keep on coming. What else is happening?
Yeah. So let's see. Next week on Tuesday, June 24th, we've got the Rapture Education Group, Reggie. They're coming in doing some programs in Edgar and Mosinee called Winged Wonders. So about having different owls, maybe, and different birds of prey. So you can go learn all about that. That's going to be at Oak Street Park in Edgar at 10:30 and then at River Park in Mosinee at 1:30. Also in Hatley next week on Monday, they have zine making for teens. So teens can come on in and make their own zines. That is at 3 o'clock on Monday.
For us old people, that's magazines, right?
It is, yeah.
I know. It's like, no, but I chuckle because it's like, that must be something that's fun as well for you, I imagine, seeing the kids and being and feeling that energy that that the kids have. I mean, that, keep up to what is going on. Because otherwise, some of this stuff could fly over the head. But I imagine being around the kids a lot.
Yeah, we try and stay on top of it. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
We will have more with Robin Vargas from the Marathon County Public Library in just over 20 minutes at 7:52 during a local segment here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Coming up next, it is the Farm Report. Get the latest on the farm news. And then After that, back to Pat. He will have his weekly homeroom segment coming up. That's in just a few minutes. Glad you could be with us here on this hump day Wednesday morning. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
To learn more about these shows and all of the programming across the Civic Media Network, head over to civicmedia.us/shows to see the entire broadcast lineup. Follow the network on Facebook, Blue Sky, YouTube, X, and Instagram.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. It's been a long weekend in the Senate, with Republicans working to get the votes to pass the president's budget bill and get it back to the House for final approval. Most Republicans support it. All Democrats oppose it. Illinois' Dick Durbin.
We need four senators to step up and say, stop this train.
As expected, Kentucky Republican Rand Paul turned thumbs down.
We're adding $2 trillion this year, but they're anticipating, the authors of the bill anticipating, adding more than $2 trillion next year. That doesn't sound at all conservative to me, and that's why I'm a no.
On CBS's Face the Nation, Texas Republican Congressman Mike McCall said he's looking forward to supporting the bill when it gets back to the House.
What I'm voting for is a border security measure, $80 billion, $12 billion to reimburse states like mine. I'm voting for $150 billion that will go to our Department of Defense, and then the tax